This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Brennan likes this thing. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome to Marking Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. This is episode 791. Make sure that you're checking out markingout.com and also subscribe and download wherever you are listening to your podcast. Give us a 5-star rating to go with that 5-star frog splash. Also, give us a like on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at markingout, Instagram at MarkingOut11, on TikTok at MarkingOut, and send us an email, because why not? You can follow me on all social media platforms. That's right, it is Dave the Rave. And you can follow me at DavidPTDPT. Follow Chris at CMSweeney85 on Instagram and ChrisWeendog on Twitter. And follow Brandon at BTTG161. Brandon, how are ya?
I am doing awesome as always. There is a doing in there.
I was about to say what you say it and how you say
I
it.
I am awesome as always. I don't know if that makes me
I
awesome
am
as
doing
always.
Awesome as always.
That was the old old shtick.
Yeah. Well, talking about old shticks, what did you do this week?
I made a meatloaf. And I've never seen anybody I've never seen anybody make a meatloaf like this. I did it in the style of brisket. A Jewish braised brisket.
I need to see a picture because I don't know what to visualize.
I couldn't find anyone saying they've done it online. I seared it. I braised it with carrots, onions, potatoes. I think it was good, but it wasn't brisket.
Mm-hmm.
So would I ever make it again? Probably not. I would prefer, very much so, I would prefer an actual brisket.
Okay. That makes sense, you know.
I'll understand that. I'll text you the pictures.
Oh, that looks very good.
It does look very good. That's interesting. It's on my Instagram, at BTTG161.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. That looks good.
And I've literally never seen anybody else do it before, so...
Are you going to cook anything specific for for Passover?
No, that was my Passover recipe, one and done.
Ah, the one and done.
Yeah, how about yourself, though? How was your week?
My week was very good. It was very good. Nothing too too crazy. Went out for, met up with two friends and went to a Pakistani restaurant in Hicksville, which was very good. And then we went to this chai place called, I think it's a Philly. And apparently it blew up. It like got really, really great ratings. And it was highly rated and ranked in Dubai. And then they opened up over here. And the chai was very good. And they had a lot of food on the menu. But it's like... it was kind of like a Starbucks deal where you're not getting a meal. You're ordering... Actually, I can't say that because they did have some, like, flat bread. Well, I guess they have that at Starbucks, too, don't they? They had a lot of, like, interesting food there that I'm going to go back and try.
I hate hot tea to begin with, but I've tried chai before, and I thought it was absolutely disgusting.
I love chai. I like the spice to it.
Yeah, that's not what I want to drink at all. It tasted like almost like Christmas to me.
Okay. I could understand that.
I don't need that.
I could understand. Yeah, I could understand that. I don't know. I like the spice to it. And I understand what you're saying with the Christmas aspect. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
They had a avocado date smoothie or an avocado date drink, which I didn't try, but I think I may try it next time. Was it avocado or mango? It may have been mango date combination drink, but they had a lot of other stuff there. Like they had a Korean barbecue sandwich that looked really good. They had a like a I think it was like a shawarma flatbread or a paneer flatbread. I forgot what it was, but it looked really good, and it was very. We went there probably at 10 o'clock at night, and it was very crowded there. It was like one person. You would have to be very like spotting out a table where once somebody started to leave, you had to kind of swoop into their table.
Oh, it really was like a Starbucks then.
Yeah, I was actually very surprised. I mean, and the, yeah, it was probably people between the ages of probably high school all the way up through 30s, low 40s maybe. And yeah, it was very popular. Apparently, I have to go out in Hicksville more often, especially if I want to get like more Indian or Pakistani food and drinks over there, because it was very good. But yeah, that's what I did.
Did you Yelp it?
No, I did not Yelp it. I've never actually, I don't think I've ever Yelped anything.
Oh,
because I have to download the app to Yelp, I think.
Well, you could do it on your computer as well.
Oh. Yeah, I've never Yelped anything. I could always
do that. I'm a big secret Yelper, I think.
Oh. All right. Yeah. So I guess I could always secret Yelp. That sounds fun.
I mean, you have to have an account. My name is not my name, but.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Ah, interesting. Okay. All right.
Yeah. That's good deal. Is that about it for your week?
Yes, sir.
Well, we had Monday Night Raw at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden, taking place this past Monday. Everybody had their, not everybody, people paid to have their names on the ring mat, and I feel like people made a way bigger deal out of that than they should have, because you couldn't really read the names at all.
Yeah, that was kind of disappointing. Like, I feel like if I had my name on there, it would be nice to actually, like, know where that was located. Like, if you go to Citi Field and you buy a brick,
right?
You know, you could actually see your brick and where it's located and stuff like that. I feel like it would be good to, like, you sent me a picture, like, to have an overhead photo of the entire ring, so this way you could zoom in and see yourself.
Yeah, WWE should have definitely posted an overhead picture of the ring. I don't know if they have an overhead picture of the ring with all the names or whatnot, but I think if you equate it to something like Citi Field, I just saw the Pirates just literally posted theirs today, but or this week. But I feel like who cares if you like you're not buying it, so who cares?
Who cares about what?
Like, why are you gonna trash people for having it?
Oh, why people are upset that there's names on the ring?
Well, they're putting ads on the ring mat, and now they're letting people pay to have their name on it. How dare they?
I mean, how many times were you distracted by the names on the ring?
Literally zero.
Raw?
Zero times.
I mean, were you, like, Brandon, were you able to read any names on that
ring? I could not read a single name. The only time I was able to read a name on that ring mat was when WWE posted it to their Instagram story, and I was able to see. I saw Green Shirt Guy had his name on the ring mat. Alan Owens, he's a famous person in the community there. I saw he had his name there. Didn't see anybody from Marking Out. Like, didn't see any other names.
Exactly. So what? Everybody's going to get pissed off over names that you don't even see? It's not like it was the Hell in a Cell where everything was red or you're being blocked by stuff and it's interfering with your enjoyment of the match. There was no way any of that interfered with your enjoyment of the matchup itself.
I think the UFC's ring mat is easier to read because it's a blue ring mat with a light blue ring mat, I should say, with the black and white. This is just straight up black with white text, and everything else is just black around it. So you really could not. I mean, I couldn't. I don't know if anybody else. I'd be shocked if anybody said, "Oh, that's distracting to me."
Yeah, if you're saying that that's distracting to you, then go get a life. Leave us alone.
But like I said, idiots. Because I unfortunately was not there in spirit, perhaps. But I had Cody Rhodes I had Cody Rhodes. We had Cody Rhodes open Monday Night Raw. The WWE Champion, Mr. SmackDown himself opening up Monday Night Raw. And everyone's like, why the hell is the WWE Champion SmackDown's own Cody Rhodes opening the show at Madison Square Garden?
I have no clue. It's not like they have WrestleMania upcoming. It's not like the world's most famous arena.
I mean, at the
like
same time, like, I could see both arguments. However, a big surprise during this segment, immediately interrupting Cody Rhodes, Stephanie McMahon.
And yeah, that was a big surprise.
She spoke about how she grew up in the business just like Cody Rhodes did, just like Randy Orton did, and people really don't understand what that's like unless you are someone who has grown up in that business. And she said Dusty could get down and dirty with the best of them, and she just doesn't feel like, from what she's seen so far, she doesn't think that Cody can do it. She said Cody isn't his father, and then Cody was like, and that this version of Cody can't beat Randy Orton. And Cody's like, I know Randy. And it got a bit dark. He spoke about how what he had to do in the past when he was, I don't want to say young boy for Randy Orton or whatever, but when he was just breaking
into
the business. We'll say it again.
You know, he said he was babysitting Randy Orton. Yeah. And, you know, and then he also said that she isn't Vince McMahon.
And she slapped him for that, and I kind of feel like it was a compliment. like, don't you, like, want to not be that? I don't understand why. I feel like that's a positive thing to say. Everybody took it like, God, oh, crap, I can't believe you said that.
Yeah.
I think that's a positive thing. I don't think the slap was warranted there.
I agree. But then he was just like, I got two words for you, and everybody's yelling, suck it. And he's like, thank you. Her reaction was kind of interesting, though, because when he said that, it wasn't like she had a reaction of, like, she smiled and smirked.
Because she was saying, I don't think this version of Cody Rhodes can beat Randy Orton. And because Cody Rhodes mentioned his history with Randy Orton, or I should say her history with Randy Orton, I thought we were going to see him pedigree Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, I didn't think that at all.
I was waiting
that
for
would
it.
Have been...
Didn't happen. At first, by the way, at first when they announced, when Stephanie McMahon's music hit, I was like, oh, maybe she's going to just like randomly say that they're inducting a match of Dusty Rhodes this year into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a very weird spot to open the show with that. They did, by the way, announce that Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant will be one of those immortal moments for the Hall of Fame, which I really don't understand how that wasn't the first one. No disrespect to Stone Cold and Bret Hart, but
that's true.
I don't see how that wasn't
the most famous
WrestleMania moment of all time.
It's possible that the only reason why it wasn't was to kind of make right by Bret Hart with everything that's happened with Bret Hart. Maybe that was just their way of trying to reconcile.
I don't know. But after that segment, we had iShow Speed backstage. He spoke to Danhausen about the curse. And Danhausen asked for like a ridiculous amount of things to get the curse broken, I guess. And
It wasn't that much. It was just a million dollars. His YouTube access and one of his video
But Adam Pearce was like, don't worry about this. You have good seats for this upcoming match. And then LA Knight showed up. He's like, LA Knight's going to be on commentary. And then we go into the first match of Monday Night Raw, The Vision.
Well, hold on. Before you go into the first match, I do want to say that I totally popped for them following Speed and LA Knight.
Yeah.
And then Adam Pearce goes to turn around, and Danhausen's standing there, and he's just like, aren't you supposed to disappear? And he's just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then
Pearce leaves, and then the camera just zooms in on Danhausen. Like, I thought that was hilarious. And the fact that Danhausen's reaction was just like, oh, yeah, I was supposed to disappear, I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. But like I was saying, Logan Paul, Austin Theory picked up the victory of the Usos in a New York City street fight to become the new WWE Tag Team Champions. On the night, the Usos got a brand new theme song.
Now, what the hell is that about?
1 week after Jey Uso said he doesn't care about the tag team titles. Theme song itself, I'd have to hear it again, but...
I didn't mind it.
Their previous theme song was much better.
I didn't mind it, but... I mean, I kind of liked the intro of it, but... This matchup, it was a good matchup. You had table spots, a lot of table spots. You had
a lot of table spots
of the dives to the outside, huh?
I said a lot of table spots.
Yeah, just one.
I like the garbage can spot where the Vision went to run into the Usos with them, and then the Usos both ducked it, so mm-hmm. they ran into one another.
Yeah,
and then they put the garbage can on their heads. Austin Theory, they beat Austin Theory with the kendo stick. They hit the superplex through the table, which I 100% did not expect them to actually hit. I was waiting for Logan Paul to break that up. Logan Paul, meanwhile, on the outside of the ring, next to his mother opens up her pocketbook. How the hell did she get into Madison Square Garden with brass knucks?
I know.
She gives him brass knucks. LA Knight, though, gets involved and stops it. And then in all of that, Speed gets dragged into the match over the barricade, doesn't see who's behind him. He picks up the brass knucks, perhaps thinks he's about to knock out Logan Paul, knocks out LA Knight. And then Logan Paul ended up with them. Jimmy Uso did duck them, but when he went for the dive to the outside, Logan Paul knocked him out. And then Austin Theory crawled onto him and got the victory there.
Yeah, and then that celebration at the ramp. I mean, Speed was just... He was just caught in the shuffle, and he was just, like, trying to plead his case like he didn't intend, but...
I mean, he much so did not intend that. And then later on, we had a segment where they were backstage with Paul Heyman. And I show Speed was worried about the Usos. And Paul was like, no, it'll be okay. The Vision will protect you. And he made the Vision go take Speed out to dinner. I don't know if they actually went to dinner. I saw they immediately did a photo shoot on a private jet, and I didn't see Speed there. But they all left, and Paul Heyman was like, oh, the Usos are going to kill Speed. I have to wonder if this sets up a six-man tag at WrestleMania.
I mean, could it set up LA Knight versus Speed?
No. It would have to be the Usos and LA Knight versus Speed and the Vision.
Okay. Because that's the thing. Like, I saw rumors of LA Knight versus Speed even before Monday Night Raw, and I was so confused because I'm like, wait, is that a rumor?
I don't know.
Like, was it being put around that Speed's going to be in a matchup?
I did not read any of that, so I have no idea.
Yeah, I thought that was different, but yeah, if it is a six-man tag, I think that would be interesting. Who would go with Danhausen?
What are you talking about? I literally just said all six names.
What was the six you said?
The Usos.
Oh, LA Knight.
Literally
LA Knight.
Everybody
okay,
involved
yeah,
in that
yeah.
segment.
Yeah, I forgot about LA Knight.
Well, you forgot about LA Knight. You literally brought him up.
Yeah. My math wasn't mathing.
You had some celebrities at Monday Night Raw. You had Jeff Ross there. He didn't roast anybody. Bit disappointing. Lin-Manuel Miranda still waiting on that Pretty Deadly the Musical. Didn't happen yet. But we had Liv Morgan come out. And she spoke about Stephanie Vaquer attacking her from behind and claiming that she needs the Judgment Day. Meanwhile, all she does is attack her from behind. And Liv ends up calling Stephanie Vaquer's mom, I believe she says, garbage. And then Stephanie Vaquer came out. They brawled. She grabbed a chair. And then Roxanne Perez returned and attacked Stephanie Vaquer. Liv Morgan hit the Oblivion onto the chair, so now we know, at least for now, we know that Roxanne Perez also turned on Finn Balor.
Yeah.
He was the one that got her into the Judgment Day.
Now, was this the name that you saw that was at Raw?
No, I did not see Roxanne Perez. I saw Speed show up. I saw him. And then there was a masked person carrying their bag, and people thought it was Bron Breakker, which they said Bron Breakker was backstage. So everyone was like, oh my God, Bron Breakker's going to show up in the end of, not the end of Monday Night Raw, but during Monday Night Raw. And spoiler alert, that doesn't happen. He must have not been able to get cleared or something. But, and then obviously they maybe perhaps snuck Stephanie McMahon in as well. The other name that I saw was Armando Estrada. So.
Armando Estrada.
Yeah. You're right, I wouldn't care. Just visiting.
Yeah, you're right. I wouldn't care about that.
After that.
So random.
After that, man, a lot got set up for WrestleMania.
Oh, yes. That's for sure. Next up, you had the Irresistible Forces taking on Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. But it ended in a no contest because everybody just came on out. It was a huge brawl.
The titles were on the line, by the way. I like that Michael Cole mentioned the last time the Women's Tag Team Championships had a match at Madison Square Garden. It was 1987 between the Glamour Girls and the Jumping Bomb Angels. Both teams, I believe, should be inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame. Like I said a few weeks ago, I'm absolutely shocked that Leilani Kai did not end up in WWE 2K26, and it's quite annoying that she did not. But I thought this match was fine from what they did in it. I just figured that the ending was going to be the way it ended. And at one point, everyone was down, and the Bellas, they showed up, and Charlexa wasn't far behind. Lyra got outside the ring, told them to leave, and then everyone ends up fighting each other. Nia threw Lyra into all of them, and everybody fought everybody. And technically, I don't know if Charlotte caused the DQ on the champions. I don't know if it was a DQ finish or a no contest or what, but that looked like a no contest to me.
No contest.
And that sets up a fatal four-way at WrestleMania for the tag team championships. I would prefer for Bayley and Lyra to walk out as champion. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't hate it if the Bellas won. I wouldn't hate it if the champions retained. I wouldn't mind if Charlexa won the titles, but I feel like there's no more story for them to be told right now as champions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the most out of that I want to win the championships would be Bayley and Lyra, especially after WrestleMania last year.
Mm-hmm.
After that,
I could see that.
They aired a commercial, by the way, to announce Saturday night's main event. And I was like, oh, that's officially announced. And then they actually showed a clip of Danhausen announcing that Saturday night's main event will be returning to Madison Square Garden on July the 18th, right smack dab in the heart of Fanatics Fest. God bless anybody who's able to go to all of that.
That's a lot, but also the booking of that is just so smart and well done. To book that event right in the heart of Fanatics Fest, that they have to sell that out.
I have to assume we're going to see a bunch of sport figures there. Not to necessarily be involved or anything, but do you know the last Saturday night's main event to take place at Madison Square Garden? I can give you a hint and say we were there.
Yeah.
August 13th, 2007. That's a night I have etched in my memory, which they filmed after a Monday Night Raw. Can you remember any of those matches that took place? Probably not.
Oh, you know the truth of that one.
Honestly, this was like the Saturday night's main event matches back then were like, really, like, what's happening here? You had Batista and Kane take on Finlay and Great Khali. John Cena faced Carlito. That's probably the most normal match. I'll save the one match that stands out the most for last. But you had CM Punk and Boogeyman, I think in the main event, take on John Morrison and Big Daddy V. How does that make sense?
That's... Yeah.
I think it was billed as like John Cena and Carlito as the main event, but I'm almost certain CM Punk closed it. But the biggest, most famous match that you would probably remember from this, Evander Holyfield versus Matt Hardy. Do you recall that at all? Michael Buffer was the ring announcer.
Rings a bell. Who was the ring announcer?
Michael Buffer.
Rings a bell.
Let's get ready to rumble. And then, of course, it ended in a no contest because MVP got involved and he ended up as the person who got knocked out by Holyfield.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fun night.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then, of course, the big thing there was who is the illegitimate son. Which, by the way, I don't remember if it took place on Saturday night's main event or if it took place on Monday Night Raw when they were doing that taping. Or not taping, when they were doing it live.
We were there for that?
Say that again?
I was going to say, we were there for that?
Yeah, but one of my favorite like backstage interactions was when Vince was looking for who the illegitimate son was with Coach, I believe. And he walks up on Cody Rhodes and Cody was like, I know who my father is. So I like that little segment. It kind of, I mean, almost ties into that opening segment with Stephanie McMahon, but like not at all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, back to Monday Night Raw, we had Brock Lesnar come out in gear, and Paul Heyman said that a few weeks ago, Brock was caught off guard by Obafemi. Last week, he wasn't dressed to fight with Obafemi. And then Brock Lesnar called Obafemi out, and Adam Pearce showed up instead. He's like, this is not happening. Security showed up. And then the lights went out, Madison Square Garden erupted, and Obafemi shows up, takes out security. That one dude went flying.
Mm-hmm.
And then, he even shoved Adam Pearce down.
Yeah, I was surprised at the shove from Adam Pearce, but
he was,
that toss of that one guy was like, holy crap.
I forget what
actually,
Adam
a
Pearce,
few of the tosses.
Adam Pearce wrote something about him being fine, but he wrote Obafemi or something like that. I forget what he wrote, but I remember laughing at it. Triple H, though, got involved and literally stopped them from fighting. So Brock got pissed. He F5'd a security guard. The way that this crowd erupted during this segment, I swear to God, this could have been the main event of WrestleMania. With how much hype went into this, this 100% could have been a main event of Mania.
You know, I agree with you.
I thought that was a very 100%. Well done segment. Like I've been saying, though, I just need Obafemi to walk out as the winner.
I agree. I want to see him walk out as the winner. I thought that this segment was exceptionally hot. And I like the fact that there was no physical blows to each other in this match. Once again, building, because as compared to Roman Reigns and CM Punk, you have the both of them going at it with each other. While with this one, Lesnar and Oba, the tensions are, and same thing with Orton and Cody. Like with Oba and Lesnar, we haven't actually. No, I lied. We had Oba get the best of him, but we haven't had.
But not like
really,
not
a back
really
and
the
forth
best. The best.
Too much. Yeah. It hasn't been to the same level, which is kind of nice.
Later on, but I'm just gonna group it in over here because it was Paul Heyman. You had Adam Pearce throughout the night. Asking Paul Heyman, did you check your email? And Paul's like, I don't do emails, which I find that very hard to believe. What, do you just do text messages? I don't know how that works, but he went to the ring later on and he spoke about trying to give people Brock Lesnar versus Obafemi. And then Adam Pearce came out and asked Paul Heyman again, did you check your email? And Paul's like, stop dancing around it. Just tell me what's in the email. And it turns out that Seth Rollins was released from Boston PD. All the charges were dropped. And Seth Rollins medically cleared. Seth showed up from behind, cracked Paul Heyman with a steel chair. And everyone's like, Braun Breaker's coming. Braun Breaker's coming. Gunther pulled Seth Rollins out of the ring before he could stomp Paul Heyman. And he choked him out and then pointed to the WrestleMania sign.
Now, I'm confused at this.
Well,
did I forget something that happened between them?
You did not. I think this is just maybe it's Paul Heyman hiring Gunther for the night. I don't know.
That's where I like unless they met
Paul Heyman the other week said, I have nobody left to protect me.
So that's the thing. I legit need next week on Monday Night Raw, I need either Gunther or Paul Heyman to explain why Gunther right now. Like, why is Gunther going after Seth Rollins randomly? I need the explanation. Otherwise, to me, this is just a random pairing when we could have just had Seth Rollins versus who?
Don't say could have, because who? Who would you have put Seth Rollins against?
Braun Breaker.
Braun Breaker's injured. Who would you have put Seth Rollins against? He's cleared.
Braun Breaker's medically cleared.
Who said that?
I think WWE or someone put it out. But Braun Breaker, he had a hernia repair.
WWE put that out there. If WWE put that out there, he would have been in that match.
It should be him versus Braun Breaker.
If he's not medically cleared, he's not medically cleared.
I'm going that he's cleared.
He was at Madison Square Garden on Monday and clearly didn't do anything on Monday Night Raw.
Which is unfortunate because it should be Rollins versus Braun Breaker.
That leads me to believe
he's
not medically cleared to be in that match.
You still got 3 weeks. I'm going to disagree with you.
I mean,
there's no reason to put Gunther versus Rollins.
It's just a match. Then Seth Rollins not on WrestleMania? Gunther's not on WrestleMania? Obviously, they say Gunther was supposed to face Rey Mysterio.
That's on them.
Rey Mysterio got injured.
You pivot. That's on them.
You have to pivot.
Then give me that explanation.
Speaking of Rey Mysterio,
give me my explanation.
We had a video from Finn Balor where he said that when Dominic Mysterio turned on Rey Mysterio, Dominic turned to him for guidance, and now he's the one that has to be responsible for putting Dominic Mysterio down at WrestleMania. So we are going to be seeing Finn Balor versus Dominic Mysterio. I would be very happy to see the Mega Championship on the line. I don't think that'll happen. But I think that'd be like a really cool full circle moment where, I mean, we did have involvement and matches from AAA last year at WrestleMania, but I feel like from that announcement to 1 year later, I think it'd be really cool to have that championship defended at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that'll happen. Because if that happens, I feel like Balor would have to win, and then Finn Balor goes to Mexico to face against El Grande Americano, and I don't think that'll happen.
I don't know. But next up, you had Penta pick the victory over Kofi Kingston to retain his championship. I think this was a great match.
Grayson Waller tried to get involved multiple times, and Kofi Kingston stopped him. That was a very interesting moment of this match. We even saw it the other week with Kofi Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
And then Grayson Waller told Kofi that it looked like he needed him when Kofi got taken out outside, and he's like bending down to tell him that. I don't know if he's like taunting Kofi in that instance even. He gets taken out with the Destroyer. And then we go into the ring. Penta dives off the top rope. Kofi catches him midair, a Trouble in Paradise. And then he went for a superplex. Penta got out of that and hit the Destroyer. The Panama Sunrise version.
Yeah.
And then we had Penta interviewed after that, and he announced a ladder match at WrestleMania. They announced that qualifier matches took place on Main Event, and everyone's like, well, when did these matches take place? But we have Javon Evans in the match, Dragon Lee, JD McDonagh, and Rusev. I don't know if they're going to be adding anybody to this. It feels like a no-brainer to add Royce Keyes, but I don't know if we'll see that.
He's been totally gone since his debut.
Yeah, I don't know what we'll see there at WrestleMania, but I'm stoked for a ladder match there. If you rewind a few months or a few weeks or whatever, I was really hoping that the women would get a ladder match there for the tag team titles, but that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I'm pumped. I'm thinking if anybody gets added to this match, we could possibly see Vikingo added as well. He's facing Penta for the Intercontinental Championship in April, like the week before WrestleMania. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to win that match, but I feel like if you have the opportunity to add Vikingo into an actual match this year at WrestleMania, how do you not? Especially a ladder match.
Do it. Yeah, that would be great.
Maybe we get the Americanos also in this match too. I don't know.
Maybe. But next up, we had Raquel Rodriguez picking the victory over Io Sky. This match was a good match, but you had the involvement of Kabuki Warriors.
Where Asuka was not dragging, she was pushing Kairi down to the ring to get up on the apron. She gets up on the apron. Io moves and Raquel accidentally knocks Kairi off the apron. She hit that tornado DDT that she hit. She hit another bullet train attack eventually. And then she saw Asuka handling Kairi outside, and she chose to dive onto Asuka. Crazy, crazy ass bump from Io.
That bump, I flinched on that bump because that looked nasty. And I'm sure that, thank God she's okay, because I'm sure she's feeling it, because that looked hard.
And then when
she's lucky she didn't land on her head.
It kind of seemed like she did land on her head,
which,
though.
I mean, it seems like she really did, but I mean, just bad. Yeah.
And then she got back into the ring. Raquel hit the Tejana bomb, gets the victory there. Leaves me very confused for WrestleMania. I don't know if they're leading to Asuka versus Io at WrestleMania. I don't know. I originally thought we would see Kabuki Warriors in the tag team title scene.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like it's going to be... I thought maybe it's going to be Asuka versus Io at some point.
Well, I mean,
but
no better place to do it
than WrestleMania.
Also, I think
that it's
going to
be Asuka versus Kairi, too.
I don't think they would do that at WrestleMania.
There's not enough time to do Asuka versus Kairi right now.
Closing out Monday Night Raw at Madison Square Garden, you had Roman Reigns and CM Punk. They brawled. What else is new? Officials tried to break it up. They brawled. Petey Williams ate a spear. Roman Reigns ate a GTS. CM Punk powerbombed him through the commentary table like Roman Reigns did the other week to him. They brawled. And then CM Punk got into it with a fan ringside.
Yeah, I saw a clip of that today. I don't understand that. Like, why?
And Roman Reigns is like, this is your champion at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, like he made an inappropriate gesture and stuff like that. Don't get me wrong. We've seen.
I don't know. That's just, he was doing the Roman Reigns.
100% inappropriate.
It's
yes.
It's the Roman Reigns gimmick.
No, it was very.
The next part was.
Did you see the follow up?
Not the Roman Reigns thing. Yeah.
Yeah, you saw the follow up of what CM Punk did. So yeah, it was very inappropriate.
Hey, it's New York City. He was playing dice. What do you mean? He's rolling dice.
Oy vey.
So that is Monday Night Raw at Madison Square Garden. Moving over to NXT Roadblock taking place at Madison Square Garden. It kicked off with OTM and Mike Santana picking up the victory over Dark State. Color James still not with Dark State, but this was fun. It was nice to see Mike Santana back at Madison Square Garden. Back on NXT television. Pretty even match. And I think this was a very good match for Dark State. Again, I don't remember what their that last match that I saw of theirs that I was like, this was very well done. This was, again, a good match. That powerbomb spot from Dark State was pretty crazy. We saw Dion Lennox yell at the group later on just to remind them that they're supposed to be on top. And it seems like something might be brewing with Dark State for Stand and Deliver. Yet Miles Bourne interviewed, and he thanked the No Quarter Catch crew for helping him. He thanked Ethan Page for giving him the edge that he needed to get that championship. And then he also said that he hopes Johnny Wrestling shows up at Stand and Deliver. And then Johnny Gargano walked in and told him that he needs to be careful what he wishes for. And he said that he'll take Miles Bourne into deeper waters than he's ever been in before. So I'm very much so looking forward to that match. He had Los Americanos pick up the victory over Birthright to become the number one contenders. Los Americanos started this during Birthright's entrance. Stax at one point got distracted by Ariana Grace when they were dancing, and then Bravo took him out and danced with her. She didn't realize that. And then Ariana Grace got involved again later on to distract the referee. Lexus King was able to take Bravo out, but he kicked out. And then Shiloh Hill showed up. He chased Lexus King and Ariana Grace to the back. And then El Grande Americano showed up. He distracted the referee, and Los Americanos were able to load their masks up. And Connors didn't see it. He got taken out. They got the victory off of that. The pop, though, at Madison Square Garden for El Grande Americano was absolutely nuts. After that, Jada Parker picked up the victory over Kalani Jordan. This was a pretty even match. The crowd very much so behind Jada Parker there. Kalani did all her moves to try and get the victory there. Jada Parker either kicked out or reversed it. She stopped the one-of-a-kind moonsault at one point. She hit a German suplex, hit the hypnotic, and then she hit Deja Vu and got the victory there. And then backstage, Kalani Jordan attacked Jada Parker. So that continues. I don't know when we'll see it next, but it continues. We saw the NXT Championship contract signing between Ethan Page, Ricky Saints, Joe Hendry, and Tony D'Angelo. Ethan Page and Ricky Saints did the whole, like, you go first sort of thing, and then Joe Hendry grabbed it, he signed the contract, and he said that he can't wait to see which one of them stabs the other in their back first. And Saints was like, we both want the same thing, but it doesn't mean we can't support each other. And then Ricky Saints said that he's winning, Ethan Page said he's winning. Saints kind of like argued with Ethan Page about that. And then Tony D'Angelo yelled at them. He reminded Robert Stone how these contract signings go. And then they all brawled. And Ricky Saints, Joe Hendry both went to the tables. Ethan Page and Tony D'Angelo brawled. That was the end of that segment. You had Keanu Carver pick up the victory over Jasper Troy. Josh Briggs was the guest referee. They fought before the match. Carver at one point attacked a fan, and he got in Vic Joseph's face, which Troy ended up chokeslamming him through the table. And then Keanu Carver ends up kicking out of the black hole slam. Jasper Troy ends up pushing Josh Briggs and yelled at Josh Briggs. Briggs took him down. That led to the end of the match. Carver afterwards taunted Josh Briggs, so Josh Briggs took him out as well. We had Tatum Paxley come out, and she said that Blake Monroe is a complex woman. That excites her. And she called her out to get the championship back. Blake said that she doesn't have an issue with Tatum Paxley, but it just feels like it just feels right with the North American championship around her waist. She never lost it, she claims. Not true. And then Tatum Paxley said that she thinks she has something that Blake Monroe wants. And Blake's like, oh, what could you possibly have? There's nothing. And then she pitched the match at Stand and Deliver. Blake Monroe accepted it, and they eventually got into a tug of war over the championship. It came to blows, and Blake Monroe escaped with that title. Again. Main event, man. What a fire main event. You had Kendall Gray pick up the victory over Lola Vice to maybe become the number one contender. I liked the amateur stuff that they were doing in the beginning. I honestly think this was a very well-worked match. But Lola Vice hit the spinning back fist. That knocked Kendall Gray outside the ring. Fatal Influence showed up. I like the spinning elbow that Kendall Gray does, that Andrade also does. I think hers looks really good. Kendall Gray caught Lola's kick at one point with an ankle lock. Lola Vice got out of that. She locked her in a choke. Kendall got out of that, I think, technically twice. She did a Northern Lights suplex, but also tapped out while she was pinning Lola Vice. Adrian Butler, who was out there for Fatal Influence to make sure they don't get involved, saw that told the referee. Mass confusion. HBK showed up. They didn't announce a triple threat. The show just ended. And then afterwards, apparently, they all brawled with Ren Sinclair involved against Fatal Influence. So the term WCW has been thrown around quite a lot lately. And I never, ever think it is WCW, but this was kind of low-key WCW. I feel like that was a WCW ending. Like, how do you go... You're about to go into Stand and Deliver. How do you not just say, oh, it's the Triple Threat? I don't get that. But NXT Stand and Deliver taking place St. Louis, Missouri this weekend. They have on the kickoff show Birthright. All the members of Birthright, all five of them, taking on Eli Knight, Shiloh Hill, Hank and Tank, and Ren Sinclair. I am very much so looking forward to seeing what they do in this match. I think it'll be, like, absolutely insane. I'm going to say, I don't know, this is a tough match to pick. I feel like Birthright has to get a victory here. The Vanity Project defending the Tag Team Championships against Los Americanos. The Vanity Project just won the Tag Team title, so I'm going to stick with them as the champions. I would not be surprised if Los Americanos won the titles, though. For the North American Championship, Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano showing up to take on the champion, Miles Bourne. This is a very, very difficult match to choose. It'll be a huge victory for Miles Bourne. Johnny Gargano said that if he loses this, he doesn't know what's next. I'm going to stick with Miles Bourne, though. You have Sol Ruka versus Zarya. They showed like a video package history between the two of them on NXT. I don't know if they showed that they brawled outside of the garden before NXT, though. But I'm going to say, I'm going to say Zarya wins this one. I feel like that's a really tough one to pick. For the Women's North American Championship, Blake Monroe looking to recapture her championship that she claims she never lost, taking on the champion Tatum Paxley. Tatum Paxley has to win. I'm picking Tatum Paxley. The NXT Women's Championship on the line, JC Jane defending the championship. I have to assume against Kendall Gray and Lola Vice. I'm going to say Kendall Gray walks out as champion. Lola Vice would be a great champion as well. JC Jane would be a great person to retain. Kendall Gray, though, how do you not, like, light that fuse and just, like, boom for Kendall Gray? She is one of the, like, fastest rising superstars maybe in wrestling history. So I'm hoping that Kendall Gray wins that championship. You have for the NXT Championship, Fatal 4-Way, Joe Hendry defending the championship against Ricky Saints, Ethan Page, Tony D'Angelo. It feels like Tony D'Angelo has to win this match. I wouldn't be shocked if Joe Hendry won, but I'm going to say Tony D'Angelo becomes the NXT champion at Stand and Deliver. Hopefully we get some surprises there. I don't know what kind of surprises. I mean, Evil, Takahashi, that's a potential. Perhaps, we'll see. So that is Stand and Deliver. Moving over to SmackDown. It opened up with Randy Orton. They were in St. Louis, and Randy Orton said the next time people see him there, he'll have the championship, he'll have number 15. And he's not doing it for the fans, he's doing it for his family, he's doing it for himself. Cody Rhodes came out, they brawled. What else is new there? In that brawl, Pat McAfee showed up, low-blowed Cody Rhodes. He explained himself as the person on the phone. This was wild. Pat McAfee really doesn't make sense as the person on the phone, but I think that segment was great. And because Pat doesn't really make sense there, I'm going to assume we're going to be seeing the big name at WrestleMania. Maybe. I have no idea. If not, it's a little bit more goofier than not. I'll put a pin in that. You had Rhea Ripley pick up the victory over Mia Yim. Jade Cargill showed up during the match and distracted Rhea Ripley, and Mia Yim surprisingly had most of the offense in here. I don't really understand them making Rhea Ripley look like she can't do anything this close to WrestleMania. Great for Mia Yim, terrible for Rhea Ripley. And then B-Fab attacked Rhea afterwards. She got put down, but Jade Cargill got up on the apron. Mia Yim cut her leg out. Then her and B-Fab attacked Rhea Ripley, got her up for Jade to chop her. She went for Jaded. Io Sky made the save. And then Rhea was interviewed afterwards. Rhea said that Jade has followers. She has friends. So I like that post-match interview there. I said interview weird. After that, Uncle Howdy picked up the victory over Tama Tonga. This was supposed to be Solo Sikoa, but he made the MFT step up in his place. Tama Tonga questioned why they're fighting over the lantern still. That got him the match. And Tama Tonga controlled most of this. But Uncle Howdy had him locked in the mandible claw. Solo Sikoa came out. And he went to use the lantern. The referee yelled at him. Tama Tonga yelled at him. And then Uncle Howdy walked right into his sister Abigail to lose the match. Tama Tonga afterwards took the lantern and left it for Uncle Howdy. And Solo was beyond pissed off. He was annoyed at that. And Tama Tonga was like, we have to. It's tearing the family apart. And now we could focus on getting the titles. We had Aleister Black pick up the victory over Matt Cardona. Aleister Black worked Matt Cardona's broken arm throughout the match. So Matt had to do some of his moves with one arm. It took him, I think, like three times to hit that double underhook powerbomb. Aleister Black kicked out. Cardona missed that boot in the corner. Eventually, Aleister Black hit the Black Mask, gets the victory there. You had Charlexa pick up the victory over Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. Like most of these matches, it was chaotic at times. The beginning, the end. I really liked Alexa Bliss blocking that hot tag for Lyra. And then Flair did a good job at blocking it as well. But Lyra finally gets the tag. I like Bayley and Lyra using the Long Island Express. Wasn't a finisher or anything, but I like them using that tag move. Charlexa hit that dual natural selection. They got the victory there. And then the champions showed up, Nia Jax, Lash Legend. They both attacked all four of them. At this point, I think they've done everything that they could possibly do with the women before the actual match at WrestleMania. The Bella Twins were not there. Nikki Bella is healing up. Might have a hurt, or not might, she has a hurt ankle. She rolled it last week, so hopefully they're all good for WrestleMania. Earlier, we had Miz Kit backstage, and Kit Wilson said that he was worried about Danhausen's curse. And Miz was like, there's no such thing as a curse. And R-Truth was there trying to build the clubhouse again for the new Judgment Day. Miz wasn't challenging R-Truth, but a title match was accepted regardless. And Truth later on, even further, thought Danhausen was Asuka. So that popped the hell out of me. Miz again spoke about the curse. Danhausen showed up and he said he'll be there ringside with them. And Miz Kit ends up yelling at Danhausen. We go to the match. The new Judgment Day pick up the victory over Miz Kit to retain the tag team championships. Miz Kit held the ring. Eventually, Miz and R-Truth took each other down. Danhausen showed up, tried to get a tag in, but Miz was super pissed off at that. R-Truth instead made the hot tag to Danhausen. And Danhausen and Miz, not squaring up, but they're face-to-face. Danhausen goes to curse the Miz. The Miz pulls the referee in front of the curse. Miz went for a skull-crushing finale. The lights went out. And then we see, obviously, Danhausen runs off. But Miz hit the skull-crushing finale on R-Truth. And before the referee could hit three, his hand or shoulder cramped or something happened. He couldn't do it. Priest got the tag. Hit the South of Heaven. Gets the victory off of that. I thought that was a brilliant near-fall ending for the Miz. And then Cody Rhodes showed up. He hit a crossroads on Kit Wilson. He yelled about Pat McAfee. And he compared that to as if the third man of the NWO would be, instead of Hulk Hogan, Disco Inferno. Cody yelled about how hot WWE is, how hot Cody Rhodes is. He laid it out as well, him versus Randy Orton, 20 years of history, it's a wrestling match. And now he's hearing voices, and people don't want to hear what those voices are saying. Like I said before, I like the Pat McAfee thing. It doesn't really necessarily make 100% sense, but I'm here for whatever that is. If they can have Randy Orton win that championship at WrestleMania, I'm here for it. Pat in his promo kind of took what John Cena was saying. I'm here to ruin WWE and turned it into I'm here to save WWE. The ratings are trash. To me, that was complete IWC. Complete Observer. I think that's the part he's playing. I could be wrong. But I enjoyed that. Earlier in the night, Trick Williams stole Sami Zayn's entrance. Sami was supposed to go out, talk to the crowd. Trick came out. Lil Yachty was with him. And then Trick asked him basically to be in his corner at WrestleMania. He also had them hit Sami's celebratory pyro for him. And then Sami Zayn came out kind of to a sea of boos. And Sami said he's going to humble Trick Williams at WrestleMania. Trick said that the only reason why Sami Zayn was United States champion and going to WrestleMania is because of him. And then Melo came out and said that what Sami Zayn did last week doesn't really sit right with him. It doesn't really sit right with the fans. He demanded a rematch for the U.S. Championship. And Sami was like, it was an open challenge. The match at WrestleMania is already official. A rematch will have to wait until after WrestleMania. And then Trick said that Sami should give him a chance. Sami eventually agreed to do it at SmackDown. And then Sami took Trick Williams out. Main event to SmackDown saw Sami Zayn pick up the victory over Carmelo Hayes to retain the championship. Carmelo Hayes tweaked his knee during the match at one point. So that factored throughout. Carmelo hit the first 48. Sami moved out of the way from nothing but net. And Sami took advantage of that. He hit the Huluva kick despite the referee backing Sami Zayn up. So we're definitely seeing Sami Zayn turn. I have to assume Trick Williams is going to be this big mega babyface after WrestleMania with the U.S. Championship. And then afterwards, Lil Yachty congratulated Sami, put Trick Williams over, also put Sami Zayn down. And when Sami put his attention towards Lil Yachty, Trick attacked Sami Zayn. And that's how they closed the show. I think Lil Yachty, I mean, he didn't really do much on SmackDown. I think he did incredibly well for what he did on SmackDown. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens at WrestleMania. But with them, I still think it'll be a great match. I don't know. I mean, I guess you could technically take Carmelo Hayes off TV with that injury right now. But I don't know. I don't know if it will be one-on-one, if it'll be a triple threat, fatal four-way. Right now, it is a one-on-one. So that was SmackDown. I'm going to take a quick little break, and I'll be right back here on Markin' Out.
This is Austin Theory, and you're listening to Markin' Out.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Markin' Out, episode 791. Moving back to the final week of AAA Rey de Reyes. It opened with Laredo Kid picking up the victory over Jack Cartwheel, TJ Perkins, and Dragon Lee to retain. This match all over the place, but in a good way. Again, I think Jack Cartwheel is very entertaining. He was great in this match. They did a spot where Dragon Lee and Cartwheel both covered Perkins. Laredo Kid broke it up, but also Tarantes didn't count the three. And he did that again later on when Dragon Lee pinned Cartwheel, and then Perkins broke it up, but Laredo Kid eventually stomped Perkins, got the victory, and then Fenix came out and confronted Laredo Kid and basically wants the championship. He had El Fiscal pick up the victory over Abismo Negro Jr. I think it was great that they played the video package of their history beforehand. This started before the bell. I would have liked for this to have been way more brutal than it was, though. But You got a little taste of that after the match. Negro ends up tombstoning Fiscal on the commentary table. He was stretchered out. I don't know. I mean, I feel like they need a big blow off here, so I don't know what's next. I can't picture what could possibly be next, but I need something. I mean, if you just watch that video package, it needs to be brutal. It closed with El Ojo. Vikingo sent a warning to Mini Vikingo, and he made fun of the people in Puebla and said that he was going to leave for WrestleMania, and he called Penta out to challenge him for the Intercontinental Championship. Penta accepted the challenge. That'll take place April 11th, Mexico City. I think it would be pretty crazy if Vikingo did win and then went on to WrestleMania to defend that match. Obviously, we spoke about that ladder match earlier. I still believe Vikingo could be in that match. Not necessarily as champion, but I think we could see that. Moving to TNA Sacrifice. I didn't watch it, but I will cover the results rundown-wise. Ryan Nemeth picked up the victory over BDE. You had Tessa Blanchard pick up the victory over Jody Threat. Leon Slater picked up the victory over Eric Young to retain the championship. This was Eric Young's cash-in for the Feaster Fired. Frankie Kazarian, AJ Francis picked up the victory over Elijah and the Hometown Man. Ariana Grace defeated Lei Ying Lee and Danny Luna to retain that championship. And then it came out that Danny Luna asked for her release and TNA granted it. So it sucks because I thought for sure Danny Luna was going to be the next knockouts champion. And that, she's not in TNA anymore. Her last match, I think, airs next week. You had Order 4 pick up the victory over Trey Miguel and Jada Stone. Moose picked up the victory over Eddie Edwards. Mara Sade picked up the victory over Elena Black. The System picked up the victory over Jeff Hardy and Vincent. The Righteous turned on the Hardys. I'll talk more about that in a moment. Main event, Mike Santana versus Steve Macklin ended in a no contest. Macklin unfortunately got injured at the beginning of this match. And then Eddie Edwards came out to brawl with Mike Santana to close the show. But Mike Santana came out on top. And then you move to Impact. Mike Santana came out and he spoke about Steve Macklin being one of the toughest guys and how he basically dropped him. And then he moved on to Eddie Edwards, and they're facing off at Rebellion. The System came out, and Eddie said that he's winning the championship. Cedric Alexander said he'll also be leaving Rebellion with the X Division Championship. Leon Slater came out, and basically was just like, no. And Cedric said that things are going to be a lot different than the last time that they faced off. And then Order 4 came out. And Mustafa Ali was like, oh, he's like kind of putting over the System. He's like, I'm also going to be leaving as champion, international champion. And the System were like, they really didn't care about that. So I thought that was pretty funny. But Trey Miguel came out, called Mustafa Ali a coward, and said that everybody knows that he can't do it himself. So he's challenging him to be a man at Rebellion. And then Santana challenged them all to fight. And Mustafa Ali was like, you guys are outnumbered, dummies. And then Moose showed up. He took out Order 4 and made it a 4-on-4 match. Santino came out, made the 8-man tag, and it opened the show. The System, Order 4, picked up the victory over Mike Santana, Trey Miguel, Leon Slater, and Moose. This match, to me at least, it made more sense than the match last week. But this was a very main event match to open with. It was a very, very well-done match. And ultimately, it was a preview for Rebellion. So it broke down eventually into the move, move, move gimmick with Eddie Edwards coming out on top with the Boston Knee Party on Mike Santana. Ariana Grace, by the way, spoke down to Mike Santana for losing and basically told him to take notes during her match. Because she's a world champion and that's how champions are supposed to win. I'll put a pin in that. She's the main event. Yeah, the Hardys come out. Matt Hardy said that they could have been a good faction with the Righteous. But now it's clear that they attacked him. They're going to pay. The Righteous came out and they were like, You weren't victims. You were the offering. What that means, I have absolutely no idea. But Matt Hardy challenged them to get in the ring. They're like, nah, not now. It'll be next week. And Dutch said that it has to be extreme. Jeff Hardy said it'll be a tag team table match for the championships. So that should be an interesting match to watch. I don't know, again, what that offering is. I don't know what that'll be. Tessa Blanchard picked up the victory over Jody Threat in a bunkhouse match. I think it's been like 5 years since TNA had one of these. But Tessa Blanchard charged Jody Threat during the entrance. She got put down with Jody Threat coming out on top of that early on exchange. I like that Tessa Blanchard was wearing that Magnum TA t-shirt, though. Obviously, it's her stepfather. But also, he's had quite a few of those bunkhouse matches in his career. But I think this is what you could have expected from this match. Maybe a little bit watered down. I mean, with the exception of the ending part. I liked the running boot spot when Tessa tucked Jody Threat's head into the turnbuckle with the chair that was there. The spot with the cable I thought was really good. And then eventually Tessa Blanchard choked Jody Threat out with a belt. I liked it was like a last-ditch effort. She hit the F5, but still had that belt around her neck. And Tessa went outside to choke her. You could only win the match inside the ring. Technically, Jody Threat was in the ring. Tessa Blanchard wasn't in the ring, but she was still choking her from outside. I thought that was a well-done finish. And then later on, Tessa followed the White Rabbit. And we saw Father James Mitchell there, so it's cool to see him back. Obviously, that's going for Rosemary. It's the Undead Realm or something like that. I forget what it is off the top of my head. After that, AJ Francis picked up the victory over the Hometown Man. I thought this was about to be a quick match, but Hometown Man reversed that chokeslam. He hulked up. He was doing a bunch of those Hulk Hogan-esque moves. And eventually, though, AJ Francis put him down with a spear. I think the fans, though, were like the loudest they were that night for him. AJ Francis rolled the footage of Nick Nemeth from Sacrifice, though, after the match. Nick Nemeth was taken out, all bloodied, beaten down. And he said that it was him. And he did it because he beat Joe Hendry in his debut. He beat a bunch of other fan favorites. But Nemeth kept getting his opportunities, kept stealing his opportunities. And then Ryan Nemeth came out. AJ Francis said he's going to do the same exact thing to him at Rebellion. One Man Gang was there. He was at Rebellion. I forgot to mention that later on. Spoiler alert for the Mark Out moment of the week. I thought that was pretty cool to see him on TV. But the main event, we saw Ariana Grace pick up the victory over Xia Brookside to retain that championship. Xia Brookside got a video from her father beforehand, basically saying he's proud of her, wishing her luck. Very interestingly said that it's her birthright to become champion. Obviously, Ariana Grace is in birthright. So that means Robbie Brookside kind of goes against Finley and William Regal in that. So I thought that was pretty cool. Not that they like mentioned Finley or William Regal there, but if you know, you know, I guess. You had Stax get involved in the match. Lei Ying Li got involved. Xia and Ariana Grace kind of got into a tug of war over the Cobra. Grace accidentally knocked Stax off the apron. She grabbed the championship to use and then she dropped it. The referee like saw that the whole time. Stax then distracted the referee so Ariana Grace could choke Xia Brookside. Lei Ying Li took Stax out, but in all of that, Ariana Grace was able to use that championship, knock Xia Brookside out, get the victory. I wish the match was longer. I appreciate that Xia Brookside was in the main event, but I wish there wasn't all that outside interference in there. It was kind of like Tom and Jerry almost. But I want more Xia Brookside on TV. I want more main event matches for the women. That was the first one on AMC. So now Ariana Grace will face Lei Ying Li at Rebellion. I feel like there's no way Ariana Grace is walking out as champion. I really still can't believe Danny Luna is no longer in TNA. Because like I said, I was so sure that she was going to be the next Knockouts champion. So that's still, I'm going to say, very unfortunate. Mike Santana came out and took out Stacks. And then Eddie Edwards came out to talk down to Mike Santana. Santana's like, get in the ring and fight. Eddie Edwards, I think, said something about the Mike Santana's going to lose the championship because of his bruised ego. After Santana challenged him to come to the ring to fight, he's like, yeah, I've done it twice already. I'll wait to do it a third time at Rebellion. So that's how TNA Impact ended. Hey, Brennan, got any shout-outs?
Why did the chicken cross the road to listen to Brennan's shout-outs? Waka waka.
Jury Duty is back for a new season, this time on Prime instead of Freevee. I assume if Freevee was still in existence, though, it still would have been on Prime because of how popular Season 1 was. Did you ever watch Jury Duty or no?
No.
It's pretty crazy that it's been 3 years since that first season aired. But this season, it's Jury Duty, what is it called? Company Retreat. They follow a temp who goes on a company retreat with the company. Chaos ensues. All of it's fake except for that temp. And I really think it's like a real brilliant genre of television. The whole season should be out by April 3rd. So it was already out by this week. I highly recommend it. If you like those shows where everyone's in on it except for the one person, the one Mark, it's right up your alley. Like, well, that, what was that other one? The Joe Millionaire sort of show? And then there was that other show.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So, I'd say the first season was, like, crazy viral. Like, especially for a show that was on Freevee, where people are like, what the hell is Freevee? Just a free service from Prime?
Yeah, I definitely don't know what it is.
But I'm so glad that it's not on Freevee. I mean, Freevee literally doesn't exist anymore, but it was annoying having to watch with commercials. Now you don't have to watch with commercials if you have that version of Prime, I guess. But my next shout-out goes to Daredevil Born Again, back for Season 2 on Disney+. I just think this show is so good. The Netflix series was really good, and they continued it, like, really perfectly for Disney+. Everyone, when that first season came out, they were like, is it going to be like that Netflix show? Thankfully, it is. And this whole season's out by May 5th. I assume it's going to lead into Spider-Man Brand New Day. That's out in July.
Mm-hmm.
I have to assume there's some sort of involvement there with Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, what's his name, too? We saw in the trailer for that. Punisher.
Yeah.
So I would say definitely check that out. You haven't watched any of these Daredevil shows, right?
No, I saw 30 minutes of an episode and didn't get back into it.
Of the Netflix version or?
Netflix, maybe? Or Disney? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, the Netflix version is now on Disney+.
The one that was the most oldest one.
So that would be the Netflix version.
Yeah, so that's the one that I
I think it's like great. I'm pretty sure Jessica Jones is on this season, so I think we saw that in the trailer. So I'm excited. My final shout-out, after 12 years, back on HBO, ooh, The Comeback. Have you heard about this series?
No. Tell me about
Dates all the way back to 2005. Got a second season in 2014. And then this season, 12 years later, this has to be some sort of, like, record. Like, what show has a season and then waits 12 years and then waits, or was it not 12 years, like 9 years or so? And then waits 12 years? Crazy. But the whole season should be out May 10th. Lisa Kudrow stars in it as a desperate sitcom actress who she attempted to revive her career. She revived her career. Then she needed to revive it again. And now she's needing to revive it again. Her character is, like, beyond cringe. And, like, she's very unlikable, but at the same time, you feel, like, really bad for her. And every season is really a comeback story for that character. Damian Young plays her husband. Robert Michael Morris was her hairdresser and best friend. He unfortunately passed away in 2017, so he's not on this final season. But if you've never seen The Comeback at all on HBO, I would highly recommend it. I think she's so good at playing this character. And when the show aired in 2005, I didn't watch it. I didn't know it existed. When they aired the trailer for season two, I was like, well, this looks really funny. How did I never hear of this? And I went back, watched season one, caught up, watched season two. I think it's a really good show. So if you're into that sort of style of comedy, they have real people on there too, playing like heightened versions of themselves. So I'd recommend that. But those are my shout outs. Now it's time for
our
Mark Out Moment of the Week.
That is right, our Mark Out Moment of the Week. I spoke about this last week while I was covering it. Buff Bagwell appeared on Impact last week, and I definitely marked out for that.
Yeah, maybe we'll get to see one more match with him.
Who'd he ever beat? Literally one of my favorite stories ever.
That actually sounded like him.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Back years ago, when we would help out with a promotion, I was back outside. We were all hanging out, chilling before a show. And I was talking about a wrestler to the group of wrestlers there. And Buff was on the truck just sitting there. He goes, who'd he ever beat? That was literally...
It's funny you say that because I was questioning. I'm like, why do I feel like I hung out with Buff Bagwell in a parking lot once?
You didn't.
And I'm like, thinking to myself, I'm like...
You didn't.
I've probably just heard a story and I'm probably visualizing it and it didn't actually happen.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, that was a double shot weekend that we did do. So you were there for that. My bad. I also
that would make sense for
taking place last week. Literally after we recorded, Roman Reigns was on the Tonight Show to promote WrestleMania. Not a great interview. I kind of got annoyed at Jimmy Fallon pretending to not know who CM Punk was.
What?
Yeah, because he's like, oh, what's this guy's name again? I always forget. And then later on in the segment, he like as if he knew CM Punk already. Oh yeah, he's a great guy. What do you mean he's a great guy? You just said you didn't know who he was. Unless I'm misremembering it. But that was a super stacked show. Roman Reigns went like, I think he went last. Rightfully so, I guess. WWE, if you're not John Cena, you're not The Rock, you get pushed to the back.
Mm-hmm.
You have any other markout moments? Oh, John Cena, I should mention. He's the host of WrestleMania. And some people were annoyed at this because he just retired. They're like, well, how do you have him retire and then show up again? People should be furious. What do you mean? If you can get John Cena at WrestleMania, you get John Cena at WrestleMania.
I mean, he's also
an ambassador, whatever, said that he's never leaving WWE. He's not wrestling again.
Yeah, and he's under contract with him. Why would he not be there?
Also, weren't there rumors saying that they wanted him to induct AJ Styles? If that happens, like, are they not going to just like, oh, John Cena's here. Well, how do you get him at WrestleMania? You have him host. Now the goal, if Danhausen doesn't have a match at WrestleMania, the goal is to have him, like, somewhat co-host.
I would say probably, like, what happens is he gets involved to the speed match. Like, maybe Danhausen interrupts or something like that.
I mean, we have to wait. But anything could happen on SmackDown. I was so convinced we were going to see Jellyhausen versus Mizkit, but, which, by the way, that could already happen by the time... That could be announced by the time we're
done
with this episode.
Danhausen, that's the great thing. Danhausen's actually involved in a storyline on Raw, and he's also involved in a storyline on SmackDown.
But then Jelly Roll got involved in that main event, and it's like, well, it seems like he's the enforcer here, but probably not.
You know? So my markout moments, I marked out for last SmackDown with Matt being in a main event with Randy Orton. That's just incredible. I know the outcome's not ideal, but it's still Matt main evented with Randy Orton in 2026. That's incredible, considering where Matt was 2 years ago. This is awesome.
I mean, even a year ago.
Yeah, not even a year ago. It's awesome. And very happy for that. I marked out for everything, since we brought up Danhausen so much. I marked out for everything Danhausen. His backstage skits. His stuff with Cody Rhodes. Did you see that one with the autograph?
You mean...
He was backstage and he was going through the autographs, and apparently Cody signed a Danhausen picture, one of one.
Yeah, I think Danhausen had signed for 2 weeks. I think he signed Cody's. And this week, Danhausen, brand new at Madison Square Garden, got his own, I think, 11 by 14 autographed pictures, and Cody signed one of them.
Yeah, and then he was signing next to CM Punk, and that was a funny one where Punk gave him $20. And, yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, and then he said, there's no wonder Randy Orton kicked him in the head, or whatever. Yeah, it's just great. I've been marking out for all of that.
I will say, disappointing that 2K still hasn't added the button-holding minigame method in my faction. But they listened to the fans about the ringside pass. If you bought the premium pass, you now just have the DLC superstars unlocked when they come out. That was something that really, really pissed people off. So now, and if you didn't buy it, they're in the first four, the first tier. So that's like, thank them for at least listening to the fans on that one. And then there were still people like, why people are complaining, for what reason? Well, this is exactly the reason. Fans who have been playing this game for decades felt screwed, and they're now getting what they should have been getting from day one. And then you just have to unlock after because we have the superstars now, you just have to unlock everything else in the past, which that's fine by me. There's probably a bunch of garbage that I don't care about, just like we don't know yet, because the first pass was all the legends that were locked that we didn't get the accelerator for this year. But they lowered the amount that it takes to get to the next level, so I'm glad that they listened to the fans there. I just need the mini game back, and my fingers are crossed for that, hopefully. And this was like, ultimately it was a great announcement for a majority of the stuff. I just need that mini game. So, but you have any other markout moments?
No other markout moments. NXT.
Oh yeah, I was about to say, I have a markout moment from you.
Yeah, I tossed on NXT in the clinic 2 days in a row. And 2 days in a row, the patients were such marks.
It's like, honestly, though, the bushwhacker walk is a great, I think it's a great exercise.
Yeah.
So, you had told me about Joe Hendry.
You're totally not wrong. I mean, Joe Hendry was doing a concert, I believe it was New Year's Evil. And Joe Hendry was doing his concert. And, it was New Year's Evil, I think, the other day. He was doing his concert, and I was with one patient. I look over, and I see another patient kind of, like, swaying her hands in the air. And I'm like, huh? And then I realized that she was doing the Joe Hendry arm waving.
She was waving her hands like, from side to side.
Yeah,
she believes in Joe Hendry.
She does, and she said that that it was good exercise. And I don't know. I can't confirm, but I'm pretty positive the other patient was doing it too, and I wish that I saw it because they were being marks. Then today I had a few patients. I'm like, I tossed it on, and it was like Obafemi versus Ethan Page, maybe? I forgot. Obafemi was in the matchup, and they were marking out over Obafemi, talking about how like large of a guy he was and stuff like that. Then they were reminiscing about how One of them used to take their kids to Madison Square Garden to see Hulk Hogan and The Undertaker, and they were watching it. I'm like, if you want, I could change the channel. And they're like, no, you can keep it. You can keep it. And I'm like, okay. And then I had two other patients come on in, and they saw that the wrestling was on TV, and they got so excited. They were saying how they love Lucha Libre and everything like that. They were very excited. So I definitely popped for my
Did they say my which patient.
No. Yeah, so I thought that was really cool.
Well, that is but, the... Yeah.
Mark- oh, I'm going to add another one. I'm going to add another one. On the streets of New York City, you had that brawl taking place. So I marked out for that with
Zaruka.
Sol Ruka.
Which, by the way, that's another thing. 2K, finally they added the entrance and exit for Zaruka, the victory motions.
Yeah, Zarya and Sol Ruka going at it. I thought that was a cool little brawl in the streets. And I love the fact that people are just walking by as if it's just like, it's New York.
Yeah.
It's fine.
So that is the
mark. Oh, and New York Knicks. New York Knicks are in the playoffs.
Who cares about the Knicks?
Marked out for that as well.
Who cares about the Knicks?
All right, take it home.
That is the mark out moment of the week. That is episode 790. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at Marking Out, at BTTG161 on all platforms, at CMSweeney85, at Chris Sweendog, David PTDBT on all platforms, Facebook.com/Marking Out, YouTube and Instagram, Marking Out 11. ProWrestlingTees.com/MarkingOut if you'd like to buy some merch and support us that way. Or you could just check us out on TikTok at Marking Out. You could rate, review, subscribe over at Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, iHeartRadio, YouTube, MarkingOut.com. And we wish you the best of luck in your future endeavor. Have a fantastic week.